Morning. I have one brief announcement for worship today. Testing? Oh, no, good. So in your bulletin, the Holy, 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 the Sanctus is hymn number 525, You Are Holy. We're going to sing that in a round. So Pastor Myers will be at the lectern, and the first, they're going to start it. You guys are over here going to start it. You're going to sing that first verse. And then I will lead the pulpit side over here. When they get to the second verse, we start singing the first verse. We all just do it two times through. Okay? That's just, we'll figure it out as we go, right? Let's take a moment to prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Please rise.
Confess to you, O Lord, that I have sinned. I confess to you, O Lord, all my sin within. I have failed to live for you in the things I say and do. I have fallen short of living in your love. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy, set me free. Oh, forgive me, Lord, I pray, and take my sin away by the cross and empty grave for my soul. I confess to you, O Lord, that I have sinned. I confess to you, O Lord, all my sin within. I have placed myself above and have hurt the ones I love. And I know that only you can set me free. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy, set me free. Oh, forgive me, Lord, I pray, and take my sin away by the cross and empty grave for my soul. Take us back to the water and wash away our sins. Welcome us, O Father, back to your home. bless your sons and daughters, and let the feast begin, let it begin.
Mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Take us back to the water, you wash away our sins, you welcome us, O Father, back to your home again. You bless your sons and daughters, now let the feast begin, let it begin. By the cross, an empty grave for my soul.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Holy God, Heavenly Father, in the waters of the flood you saved the chosen, and in the wilderness of temptation you protected your Son from sin. Renew us in the gift of baptism. May your holy angels be with us, that the wicked foe may have no power over us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
A reading from Genesis. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is a sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you, every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is a sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all the flesh that is on the earth." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm responsibly. Congregation, please read the bold print. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
My God, I reproach myself to you, but let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over you.
Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous.
Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. In you I have trusted all the day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are there from everlasting.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. You lead the lowly in justice. Teach the lowly your way.
All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies.
A reading from 1 Peter. Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh and made alive in the spirit, in which he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey when God waited patiently for the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which is prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Can God transform the chaos? Can God transform the wilderness we find ourselves in? The answer to that is yes. God can transform the wilderness and transform the chaos. But are we aware of how and when God is doing that? On our first Sunday in Lent, we are once again hearing the story of Jesus' baptism. But we also get Mark's version of Jesus being sent into the wilderness and tempted. It's an abbreviated account. And maybe we're getting just how Jesus transforms the wilderness. Jesus is in the wilderness, but coexists with wild beasts. And there are angels waiting on him, ministering to him. Are we getting an image of heaven on earth, wherever and whenever Jesus is present? The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verse 6, says, "The wolf shall live with the lamb." Here is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, in the wilderness with the wild beasts and the angels, not succumbing to temptation, Jesus is transforming the wilderness that we find ourselves in. And when we reflect on the story of the flood in Genesis, that narrative shows God, in a sense, uncreating, yet also preserving and establishing a new order. Before the flood, we hear the trespasses of humanity and an earth that was corrupt in God's sight, filled with violence. As we navigate a chaotic world, as we feel at times lost in the wilderness, the story of the flood in the Bible would have been significant to those living in the ancient Near East, because turbulent water is a symbol of chaos. The flood story in Genesis as sounding like an uncreation, a return to a primordial chaos that we hear in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, that the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. But what follows from the flood is a covenant. And that covenant speaks to the unity of all of God's creation. Creation and humanity are one. Creation and humanity are dependent upon the mercy and compassion of God. There's also some good news with covenants, because they're permanent. They're everlasting. And permanent and everlasting covenants would have been a source of comfort to those in that time period. But they should be not just sources of comfort for those who lived centuries ago. They should be comforting for us today. Certainly, if you were a person experiencing exile and you would have heard the flood story, living in a time where your own government that was once stable collapsed, living in a time where the religious institution that you belonged to and practices were disrupted, essentially everything that you knew no longer the same, destroyed, they would have found great hope in this covenant. To know that God's promise is eternal, to know that God's compassion and mercy gives us the opportunity to start over, that is a promise that we can cling to. That's a promise that allows us to see life in a way that can give us fresh starts. There's a quote I return to over and over again in our society today, that we live in a world where everything is permitted, but nothing is forgiven. That is not the kingdom of God that Jesus is establishing. When we confess our sins, when we're reminded of the promises God has made to us in holy baptism, we get new starts. And we're comforted in knowing in the steadfast love and presence of God in our lives, that God being with us in the wilderness can transform that wilderness. God being with us in the chaos can transform that chaos. And that we have forgiveness in a world that is often unforgiving. And it gives us the ability to start anew. In our lesson from 1 Peter, those of us facing adversity will find comfort in the truth of 1 Peter that we belong to God. And there's something that 1 Peter says that we confess, profess in our creed each week, when we hear that, in which also he, Jesus, went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison. In the creed, we talk about Jesus descending into the dead or descending into hell. But we have this image of Jesus proclaiming the good news to those who have died. What's interesting here, as Jeehee Park points out, is that there's a focus on salvation and not judgment. The spirits in prison that are being preached to would have included those who disobeyed and perished in the days of Noah. Think about that. Talk about hope for all people. Talk about hope for all of God's creation. It's a reminder for Christians that the flood story in Genesis is seen differently when we have hope in the resurrection. The saving promise of baptism, that's something we can cling to amid our suffering. Because of the promise and love of Jesus, we know that we're able to endure anything that comes our way. Because Jesus has transformed that chaos that we find ourselves in the world. Jesus has transformed the wilderness that we navigate through in this world. Now, St. Augustine argued that Noah's Ark in the Old Testament points to a means of salvation in the New Testament. As the Ark saved Noah and his family, St. Augustine says, the wood of the cross and the waters of baptism save us. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 16, we hear, make a roof for the ark and finish it a cubit above and put a door of the ark in its side. St. Augustine saw this analogous to the way we enter the church, that we enter the church through the side of Christ, which was pierced when he was crucified on the cross, releasing water and blood. And the ark is also a parallel to the church, the one baptism that gives us forgiveness of sins, brings us into a new family known as the church. And we know that water can destroy things, and we also know that water is necessary for life. And the Reformers would share the attitude with the author of 1 Peter that baptism is a sign and a reminder of God's care and sovereignty, that even though we suffer, we know that God is with us, and that God is faithful, that we're never alone, and that family that we're brought into in holy baptism, the church, that helps us to also endure those times that we find ourselves lost in the wilderness. It helps us, the church, the family of God, helps us to navigate those storms we find ourselves in at times. And enables us to see the love of God amid our times of trial. The covenant that we hear today in Genesis is also a unilateral agreement. God is the only one that has obligations in this covenant. Humans are not obligated to do anything. It is a story of deliverance. It is a story of new beginnings for Noah and his family. And I think as Christians, that's something we can relate to. In holy baptism, it's a story of new beginnings. What we sang in our confession, you bring us back to the water. You bring us back to the water. We believe in one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, but when we confess our sins, we're reminded of the forgiveness that we have in holy baptism. That's why I intentionally dip my hand in the water when I give absolution, because it is grounding it in that sacrament of holy baptism, that announcement and proclamation of the forgiveness of your sins, and that you have a new and fresh start in Christ. The burden of your sin, the burden of your mistakes that people in this world want to crucify you for, you are free of that. And now you can be free to go out into the world to love Christ and serve your neighbor. Jesus is with us in the wilderness, and Jesus is transforming it. It's a corrupt, violent humanity that's responsible for nailing Jesus to the cross. And it's on the cross that Jesus destroys sin, death, and all evil. Certainly, we feel the sting of this evil reality in our world today. We long for a new heaven and a new earth. But beloved children of God, take heart in knowing that this wilderness in Jesus is transformed. For by the love of Jesus, we can cling to the victory we have in the cross of Christ, and we can trust in the promises of Jesus. And when we follow Jesus into the wilderness, we have nothing to fear, because God is with us and God is doing a new thing. It might be a journey filled with temptations and rocky paths. Well, check that. It is a journey filled with temptations and rocky paths. We know it all too well. But we have hope in the promise. I've been moved by a quote I read from N.T. Wright. I just read a few weeks ago. Without hope, all we're left with is our feelings, right? We have hope in Jesus. We have hope in our future. We have hope in the present. And as we are made new by the love of Jesus, may we see the wilderness with new eyes and transformed hearts. May we seek harmony with God's creation, as opposed to using God's creation just as a means to an end. Let us minister to the needs of our neighbor rather than neglecting them or putting them in harm's way. Because in this wilderness, we pray that we could walk with Jesus, and knowing that Jesus will always walk with us. And as the baptized people of God, we bear witness to the heaven that has broken in, the kingdom that is breaking into this world. and we bear witness to a God of promises that makes all things new. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in God's promise to reconcile all things, let us pray for the Church, the well-being of creation, and a world in need. God, our truth, the ark of your church has room for many expressions of faith. We give thanks for voices that challenge and awaken your people, especially that of Martin Luther, renewer of the church, whom we commemorate today. Hear us, O God. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Michael, our presiding bishop pro tem, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all holy people of God, hear us, O God. God, our Maker, you remember your covenant with the earth and its inhabitants. Rescue communities and creatures hurting from natural disasters. Preserve species and habitats endangered by human carelessness and disregard. Hear us, our God. God, our light, you know our weaknesses. Free all who govern from temptations of power. Sustain all who work for human rights in every nation. Hear us, O God. God, our help, you care for your beloved children. Comfort all who are grieving, especially the family of Cheryl and Adai, ill, afraid, in pain, or in despair. Feed hungry people living in food deserts. Protect any risk from exploitation and abuse. Hear us, O God. God, our home, you gather your people. Grant us health and safety as we assemble. Keep us mindful of who are homebound, hospitalized, convalescing, or traveling, especially Charlie, Justin, Susie, Scott, Connie, John, Joellen, Dan, Pat, Dixon, Brent, Debbie, Paul, Candace, Cheryl, Dave, Chip, Theodore, and his family, Julie, Owen, Bill, Jim, Caitlin, JP, Ellie, and our homebound, and the family of Kurt, Logan. Hear us, O God. God, our hope, you promise eternal life to your beloved children. We remember the gratitude of those who have lived and died in faith. Grant that we may also dwell in your, with you in everlasting peace. Hear us, O God.
Receive the prayers of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with another sign of God's peace.
Let us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with the words of grace and life. Bless us and these gifts, your gifts, which we receive from your bounty through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
You are holy, you are whole, you are always evermore than we ever understand. You are always at hand. Blessed are you coming near, blessed are you coming here. You, your church in wine and bread, raised from soil, raised from dead.
You are holy, you are whole, you are always evermore, and we ever understand. You are always at hand. Blessed are you coming near. Blessed are you coming here to your church and wine and bread, raised from soil, raised from dead.
You are holy, you are whole, you are whole evermore.
You are present,
you are
the cosmos, praise you, Lord.
Blessed are you coming here,
in the
coming here, to your church in wine and bread,
raised from Zana, raised from dead.
You are holy, you are whole, you are always evermore,
can we ever understand? You are always at hand. Blessed are you coming near. Blessed are you coming here to your church in wine and bread, raised from soil, raised from dead. You are holy. You are wholeness. You are present. Let the cosmos praise you, Lord. Sing Hosanna in the highest. Sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to our God.
Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise you for the death and resurrection of Christ. praise you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe the new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. With Cheryl and your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward our communion assistants and those participating in Children's Church this morning. Distribution of the sacrament will be a kneeling around the altar. Ushers will have trays of glass cups and they'll release you forward. Just take a glass cup as you come forward. We have both consecrated wine and grape juice. Craig, our assistant minister, of the chalice of consecrated wine, and usher of the chalice of grape juice. Just indicate your preference when you're at the altar. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God.
There's hope for the hopeless and all those who stray. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary and rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face.
There's joy in the morning, oh sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. Lift up your face.
Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace. Invite the choir up to help lead us in the song after communion.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be a hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Announcements for the good of the community. Pastor Paul.
So it's with a great bit of joy and a little bit of sadness that I announced that that I'm likely going to be called as the new pastor of St. Lucas Lutheran in Toledo. The congregation is having their official vote on March 10th. The council has approved my being recommended to the congregation. So if everything goes well, I will start on March 26th, which is Holy Week.
So that'll be fun.
But I just want to say what a joy it's been to be here in my time of transition and discernment, and thank you all for the blessing of letting me worship with you.
We'll certainly keep Pastor Paul and Dee in our prayers and the people of St. Lucas in this time of transition. We're going to set a date for farewell and Godspeed for both Paul and Dee before they get ready to head off to Toledo. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.